Blog Talk Radio.
On the latest episode of The Big Show, singer, songwriter, rapper, record, film producer, as well as super beat maker, Pharrell Williams will be our special guest to discuss his involvement with the film Hidden Figures. Plus, we'll look at some of the most anticipated films of the year, and we'll also review this week's new releases, Martin Scorsese's passion project Silence and the poignant drama A Monster Calls, all on episode 297 of Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. Let's go.
Now let's start the show. Step out of the cold. We come from the cold. To the top of the globe. The pips and the hoes. The folks and the stones. Whoever you ride for, we back for some more. Get back to the show. You know.
Welcome to episode 297 of The Big Show, Keeping It Real with Film Gordon here on the Critical. I'm going to get this right because it's still brand new. On Critical, the Movie Critics Network here on Blog Talk Radio, first new show of the new year. I am hyped. And it's a welcome respite to actually get back on the air because all I've been doing it for the last, 36 hours, 48 hours, is getting ready for Sundance Film Fest, which is going to kick off actually 2 weeks from today. So next week on the show, of course, we'll have my good friend and friend of the show, Travis Hobson, here to kind of give us a Sundance preview. And 2 weeks from there, we will actually broadcast from the Sundance Film Fest. And we've got a whole lot of things that we're working on and still in the process of putting together some interviews and some things I want to do, some conversations I want to have with some filmmakers. I've already had an opportunity to see several films and have several more films that I'll see before we get to Sundance. I've been talking and mentoring some of the folks who have an interest in wanting to attend this film festival, which kicks off our year. And I explained to them that you got to have a plan going in. You got to know before you get to Sundance what you're trying to get accomplished, because if you wait until you hit the grounds of Park City, it's going to be too late at that point because it's just too much. It's like it's overwhelming your senses. You've got movies coming at you. You got interviews coming at you. You got the social life and hanging on Main Street at Park City or the after parties or hanging at various lodges where there's certain things that are going on. It's just a lot of things to try to take in over the course of this. I think it's a 10-day festival that they run, and I've done the entire festival one time and pledged never to do that again. I'm never going from start to finish at Sundance, so I'll take my chunk, 7 days, 6 days, 8 days, whatever it is, but we're looking forward to that. So that is going to be coming up as well. We're also still in the middle of award season. And, of course, award season means that the Golden Globes this Sunday. Still debating what we're going to do as it relates to the Globes. Now, since you're doing the Critics' Choice Awards, which I'm a member of the Broadcast Film Critics Association, not to say that the Golden Globes or the Oscars have taken kind of a back seat, but it's just a situation where with Sundance coming up, with film festivals coming up, with award, we're in the middle of award season. There's a lot of stuff to take in, and I explain to people all the time, this time of year, when you have that window from probably the beginning of November to the end of February, you are just swamped, and you're kind of in it. So we have to sort of make it up as we go along, kind of get in where we fit in. But yes, so that's what we will tell you to open the show, that it's been all Sundance, it's all award season. But we still have a big show today. And today on the show, of course, you heard at the top, you know, a person who I have an amazing amount of respect for as a record producer and now is delving into film is Pharrell Williams. And Pharrell will be our guest coming up in our next segment. Also, coming up a little later on in the show, we're going to discuss, since it is the beginning of the new year, the most anticipated films of the year. And I have a list of 13 movies that I am particularly looking forward to. And I may have a guest that comes on to talk about some of the films that they like. So you want to stick around for that. And as well, we will also review the two movies that are opening in theaters this week. Of course, one is Martin Scorsese's film, which is generating some awards buzz, and we will find out on January the 24th whether this film makes the cut. And, of course, that is Silence, as well as J.A. Bologna's film, A Monster's Call. So we will have those reviews coming up later in the show. But without any further ado, it is now 6 minutes after the hour, and as we do every week, I welcome in my colleague, my friend from Gotham. It is Wilson Morales from blackfilm.com. Wilson, welcome to the show, man.
Hi, it's good to be back. Start of the year.
Yes, sir. So tell audience, man, share, man, what is going on, man?
I'm not sure. It's that quiet, you know, we're just getting back into the New Year's. Let's start promoting the movies that we're hopefully going to get Oscar nominations. Today is the first day of voting for those who are Academy members. For Oscars, you know, we're starting to get at least a lineup of who may get nominated because you're starting, you know, you're getting Guild nominations, you know, just recently the team of Hidden Fences and Hidden Figures, Fences and Moonlight got nominated for screenplay nominations in their respective guilds as well as Moonlight for editing. So, you know, it's starting to shape up like we're going to see Moonlight, we're going to see Fences, and the question is whether or not Hidden Figures can squeeze within the top eight. The Oscars have never gone 10 nominations, so you can always count on maybe 7 or 8, but maybe because of last year's Oscars so white, they may be inclined to vote 10 to be on the safe side. If you go 10, I think Hidden Figures gets in.
Well, Oscar has gone 9 several times. They've never gone 10. We had this strange 8 last year, as you said. I didn't understand that at all, and I understand that it's been explained to me that there's a certain percentage, much like when you're voting in folks in the Hall of Fame, they need to hit 75% or whatever number that the Academy has. So Hidden Figures, I think, it's going to be interesting to watch. I agree with you that I think if they go to a higher number that Hidden Figures has an outside shot, but I do see at least some nominations or a nomination coming in a major category for that film, and I'm not really sure if it's going to be Janelle, if it's going to be Taraji. I don't know, but I'm assuming that somebody from that film is going to break through.
Oh, yeah. I think if anything, if it gets to get the film nomination, Pharrell Williams is in line to get in for producer as well as song. You know, obviously, there's a lot of potential in there between Taraji, Octavia, Janelle. You know, obviously, the writing team got an adapted screenplay nomination, so it's looking good in their eyes. The team got the acting squad ensemble got an ensemble nomination from the SAG Awards. So, you know, we'll see. There's 3 weeks to go. The question is, they got to keep the momentum going. I guess being released in a wide format tomorrow helps it out, especially if they have strong numbers at the box office.
Right. I agree with you, man. But from what I understand, you know, you and I saw this movie really, really early, probably like 2 months ago. And, you know, I thought at the time that it was a really good film. I didn't think it was great. I didn't think it was on the level. We talked about Fences and Moonlight, but audiences are really responding to Hidden Figures in a very, very strong way. Are you getting the same sense up in New York that that's occurring as well?
Well, it's all about timing. You know, everything's all about timing. There's certain films that start generating buzz, free buzz. You know, like, if you look at the talk shows now, you see Taraji doing the talk shows, Kevin Costner, they've been traveling, around the circuit. You know, and when you have that momentum going, you got to build it up. It's a little different if you came out early in the year and you have to rely on the studio having the finances to keep plugging it out there. You know, so like having that free buzz, and when if you're being released in the theaters at this time of the year, and if you do well, you know, that's beyond expectations, that's free write-ups, you know, from writers and critics out there. You know, so, you know, sometimes not everybody has an opportunity to see as many screeners that they're getting now. You know, if you don't watch that many movies, you're not going to all of a sudden watch 20 in one day. You know, but if you start reading and hearing about, Hidden Figures, like people have been talking about La La Land and Moonlight, and, you know, Fences is starting to get that momentum. You know, it's the later films get more momentum than the earlier films.
I'd agree, man. So, what else do you have coming up? Because we kind of, it's a really interesting period, Wilson, that, we're in the middle of award season. There's not really a lot of movies. A lot of people like myself and Travis are getting ready for Sundance. What else is going on, man, in your world?
Well, this time in the last few years, we'd be getting ready for the Critics' Choice Awards, but since that was already done a month ago,
Right.
Now we're focusing on, what's out. You know, starting tomorrow, you have, what's coming out in theaters, Underworld Blood Wars, If you're a fan of the series and you've seen all, you may have an interest in seeing this one. Next week, you have Jamie Foxx coming out with a new movie, Sleepless, which is actually a remake of a French film called Sleepless Night. And that's his reunion with Gabrielle Union. Years ago, they did a film together. I forgot what was it called. It's Jamie Foxx back in another lead role. But it doesn't say a lot when you're being released in January.
people don't believe the January thing, Wilson. They just don't, man. I keep explaining it to them. We all tell them, if your movie's in January or February.
there's that hidden notion that if you get released in January, maybe if you're released around Martin Luther King weekend, that you may do well because people are out of school.
Right.
And that has worked. That has worked in the past. It worked with Denzel Washington when he did that Book of Eli, it worked for, You Got Served, certain films,
Right. Well, it worked for Kevin Hart. It always worked for Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart's used to, those dance movies do well in January. Kevin Hart does well in January. That doesn't say much about the long run. And I mean, do people talk about it afterwards? We've seen Kevin Hart with two sequels in January, and at the end of the year, it's like he still doesn't get a Golden Globe nomination for Best Comedic Actor.
Right. Well, hey, man, it is what it is. But
We have the Golden Globes this Sunday.
Yeah, we do, man. So again, and of course, that'll be, as you said earlier, that'll be another test to find out what the Hollywood Foreign Press thinks about the big three this year. I'm assuming that Denzel will probably do well. I'm also assuming that Moonlight will do well. We're going to keep an eye on Hidden Figures, man, because I think some of that momentum, as you said today, with Oscar voters voting, they'll still be voting over the weekend as they're watching your Golden Globe. So some of that factors
The Golden Globes has usually no factor. It's all about the bigger names. At times, they try to play the politics. Obviously, you get certain winners out there, those who have been winning awards up till now, and they may continue that streak. But sometimes, there'll be a decision. Usually they tend to favor those who are new in the game, especially when it comes to the TV side. So if that theory holds right, then I'm expecting Issa Rae to win for Insecure for Best TV Actress.
All right, bro. Well, we got snow coming. I'm not sure what's going on in New York, man, but, be safe, hunker down. You got screeners to watch, man. Enjoy yourself. And we will definitely talk. I'll probably give you a call because I want to talk to you about this huge presence of African-American filmmakers that are going to be at Sundance in a couple of weeks. And if you if there's anything you want to do while we're down there, so we'll talk to you about that, man.
Okay, I'll touch base with you later.
All right, so brother, you take care, man.
Take care.
All right. And, of course, that is none other than my friend and colleague, Wilson Morales from blackfilm.com. He checks in with us 5 minutes after the hour every week here on the show and gives us his perspective on what's going on in entertainment. We're going to take a break right now and come back on the other side with our conversation with Pharrell. And we're going to feature all his music all day long on this podcast. And, of course, you know you're listening to Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. And we'll be right back.
In the crib, ma. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. When the pigs try to get at you, park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. Park it like it's hot. And if a get an attitude, pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. Pop it like it's hot. I got the rollie on my arm and I'm pouring Sean Don and I'm full of best because I got it going on. I'm a nice dude with some nice dreams. See these ice cubes. See these ice creams. Eligible bachelor. $1 million bow. That's whiter than what's in your throat. The phantom, exterior like fish eggs. The interior like this red. I can exercise you, this could be your phys ed. Cheat on your man, man, that's how you get it. Killer with the V, I know killers in the street. With the feel to make you feel like chinchilla in the heat. So don't try to run up on my ear talking all that raspy. Trying to ask me, when my figure they ain't gonna pass me. You should think about it, take a second. Matter of fact, you should take 4B and think before you make a little skateboard B. When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like
yes, and of course, drop it like it's hot. And that is Snoop Dogg with a Pharrell beat featuring Pharrell, and that's Drop It Like It's Hot from several years ago. Welcome back to the show. It is 17 minutes after the hour, and about 2.5 weeks ago, we had an opportunity, believe it or not, on the same day that we announced the nominations for the 17th Annual Black Reel Awards, that I was also scheduled later that day to sit down with cast members from Hidden Figures, who are also in town that day. And one of the guys that I caught up with that day, of course, was none other than Pharrell himself. Disclaimer, you know, in addition to being a very big, big fan of him, interesting fact. I literally was waiting in a room, and when you hear this interview, it sounds like we're kind of like in a cave, and it's one. And I laugh because we always talk to the publicists that this is a room we shouldn't use for these sorts of interviews, but it gives out a very hollow sound. But I'm sitting there waiting on Pharrell to arrive, and I'm going through his discography, listening to all the songs and beats that he had come up with. And he walked in while I was playing one. And I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm a journalist, but I'm also a fan of your work. So really humble, very soft-spoken brother. I wanted to get inside of his head to find out what his process was and also talk to him about all the work and how he came to be a part of this story. And here's our conversation with Pharrell Williams.
All right. My name is Tim Gordon. And I founded an award show called the Black Reel Awards back in 2000.
Okay.
So we announced our nominations today, and of course, Hidden Figures got six.
Whoa.
We got two of the six.
Whoa.
For original songs this morning.
Wow.
So the timing worked out perfectly because I didn't even know we were going to talk until yesterday, and
wow.
I was prepping all this stuff for the day.
Okay.
So it worked out perfectly.
Thank you.
But I'm sitting here, as I'm going through the tape, I'm sitting here with what I call master beatmaker, Pharrell Williams. Had a chance to see the film, had the opportunity to listen to the music that you created for the film. I wanted to talk, first of all, how did you get involved with Ted? Did Ted call you, or were you brought in prior while the story was working its way through development? How did you get attention?
Yeah, as you said, I was brought in prior as the story was working its way through development. My producer partner, Mimi Valdez, took a meeting with Donna Gelati, who's a producer who actually found the story from Margot Lee Shutterly. She optioned the book when it was 55 pages in.
Mm.
And she knew that I was going to lose my mind.
Why?
Because it involved three African-American female protagonists who were not divorcees, consoling each other or going away for a girls' weekend. This was three African-American female protagonists who were scientists, they were engineers, they were mathematicians, they were technologically advanced. And this also involved NASA and space, two subjects I was obsessed with since I was a little boy. And it happened in Hampton Roads, where I'm from.
Right.
11 years before I was born, 1962.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I did. I did whatever it took. I was like, man, I got to be part of this. Like, we have to be a part of this. And we did. We did whatever it took. I mean, we called, and once we got in, I mean, I just hit the ground running. No pun intended.
Shut this door.
Nope, no problem. The crazy thing is all those things were enough to make me go crazy to do it, right? But man, 2014, I started working on 1960s-esque music. Didn't know why. Didn't know why at all.
You're talking about prior to...
That's right, prior.
Nice. Okay.
So... Put out one of the songs called Freedom. Kept working on the music, didn't know why. So I had about five songs. And get that project, and we're like, whoa, the universe was priming me, was tuning me up to do this, to work on this project. So I was incredibly humbled. And I tell my mom about the story. And my mom's like, yeah, what's her name again? I said, Katherine Johnson. She said, yeah, you met her. I said, what? She was like, yeah. 6 years ago, she came to our program From One Hand to Another, this organization that we have that like tutors kids, after school programs, and also summer camps. And this African-American astronaut by the name of Leland Melvin came to speak to the kids, and he brought Katherine. And I didn't know her story, because she was there just to like be supportive,
right.
And she didn't necessarily do any presentations or anything or make a speech, but Leland did, and she was there. My mom reminded me of it, and I was like, wow, the universe, man, the universe is real. God is real. If you don't believe in God, you at least believe in the universe. You know that it made you. To me, the universe and God is the same.
Let's talk a little bit about the music you created. It's funny that we even have this conversation, because 72 hours ago I was in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing the Critics' Choice Awards, and I knew you guys were back in New York doing the junket, so you weren't going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
So I was listening to music because we were working on the nominations, and I had to break ties.
Right.
So I'm sitting in the room watching performances you guys did at TIFF. You and Kim Burrell, singing, I think it's I See Victory, Surrender with Layla Hathaway.
Yes.
And I'm sitting there, and like, I had a buddy of mine who's a DJ, and he's talking about you, you know, your skill and art as a beat maker. So I'm riding in the car, we're riding up Wilshire, and Southern Hospitality comes on. He goes, there's another one. And I went, I didn't know Pharrell did that beat. And I listened to the beat, and then at that point, it started to click. I said, all right, this brother hears music in a way that fascinates me, because as a film critic and a guy who likes movies, my life is in pictures. You have, I guess, in order to create the music you create, you have to see pictures in your head of the music that you're creating. Talk a little bit about that process.
You know, you're just looking in the void of, like, nothingness. You don't know where it's coming from. You just know it's coming to you, and you just got to be porous and open and let it come through and not judge it and try to shape it and edit it too much. Just let it come through. You can always edit it later. That's essentially my process, whether I am standing in the shower and writing music or writing lyrics or putting a melody to something I've already created, or I am on a plane. And both of which phenomenon is sensory deprivation. In other words, when the water's running, your mind is concentrated on that, it allows the other side of your mind, the intuition, to just run free, untethered by what your mind may think or may try to control or edit. Same thing with the air, when you hear the air on a plane.
Hmm.
Same thing when I'm at the beach or sitting by a campfire. But oftentimes when I'm outside of a studio, I'm working, I like to walk around outside because the sound nature, the sound of the outside atmosphere or the environs takes the attention so that the other side of my mind can just let things come in. That's how it works.
It's interesting you would actually qualify that, because I've always wondered. I always think better when I'm in the shower, when I'm in water. I'm like, okay, I come up with ideas. Perfect.
Yeah. Thanks. Same for a pool.
Okay.
If you just, or believe it or not, you could stand in the bathroom and look into the mirror or not, but run the water. Same effect.
Hmm.
You don't have to be in it. It's the sensory deprivation.
All right. As a future, and I'm speaking this for you, as a future Rock and Roll Hall of Fame honoree somewhere down the line. And I always ask artists this because I'm the same way, and it's true, it's going to happen for you. Do you really pay attention to what's behind you, or you're so forward-thinking, do you ever get a chance to sit down one day and go, man, this journey, wow, I was here and over this time? No?
Only in gratitude.
Hmm.
But never by accumulation. Never to say, I did this, I did that. More so to say, look, Lord, you've brought me so far. You know, that's the thing. Like, you know, people talk about having the juice. I know I ain't got the juice. I'm just a straw. I'm lucky that it comes through me.
Right.
It's only when you think you got it or you create it is when you're done. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. I was going to follow that up. I remember one time watching Prince on the Oprah Winfrey show, and he talked about the process, like you're talking about being strong, that he said, man, he just hears stuff, and he said he can literally write a song a day, or he said he did write a song a day.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel, because I'm looking at your output, and it's not just in one area. I've seen you write funk, rock, pop. I mean, it's almost like your ear, it's almost limitless. How it comes to you. It doesn't come to you in one form. It just comes to you like, it's almost like rain on you with music.
It comes to me and then I go to it. And the only thing that you got to do is just be open. Not think you know. Once you know, then you're putting a cap on it. Right?
Yeah.
To say you know is to be resolute. I don't want to be resolute in my craft. I want to be learned, and I want to be open and porous so that more things can come to me.
Now, I noticed recently I've watched John Legend and his production company. He had Southside with you, and he's worked on several other films. Is that a direction that you clearly, not necessarily emulating somebody else, but is that a path that you want to try to take on more film projects? To also work with the music or use that as you're getting more music to kind of pour that into different projects?
I'm just happy to be working with really talented people. Mm-hmm. And as the projects come, you know, I decide what I'm going to work on. And I'm grateful to have a company, to have really talented people.
Is there a prerequisite, like people come, because everybody wants you now. They want that sound. They want what you have to give. Is there, in your mind, kind of like, I'm only going to work with people who are X or who are bringing Y?
They have to be inspiring. They have to inspire me. Younger than me, older than me, they just have to inspire me so that I can service them. Because if they don't inspire me, then I can't really service them. So it kind of works hand in hand.
Interesting.
And most, you know, there's so many different kinds of people. That's what I really love about working in my field, is that all different walks of life, you know, every time you work with somebody, you're working with the causes and the effects of their past.
Right.
their present and essentially the causes and the effects of their future to be.
Who would you still like to work with? Because like have you done anything with Quincy before? I've seen you on stage. I've seen the two of you guys together, but I'm talking about from a professional standpoint of actually in the studio or writing somewhere.
Not yet. But he's so amazing as a human being that, like, it's almost been like working with him. You know, it's always education for me. Because working with somebody is education
right. For
me. It's just that with him, I know that I'm walking around, you know, following, listening to a savant. His murmurings are more brilliant than most people's full composition.
Q is amazing.
He is.
So, final question. We talked about who you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
As you think, and again, we as journalists, we always are fascinated because I look at somebody's body in totality, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because even when people do it for me and some of the things that I've done, I'm like, I can't really focus on that. I really want to try to figure out, because your career from, what, 93 to now, so you're about 22 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So inside that 22 years, we know that there's some roads or some things that are in play for you right now, that God is ordering your steps, and there's certain steps or certain things you're going to walk into. But in walking into those, what have you learned through these first 22 years and all the different associations that you've had that you think will help benefit you moving forward?
God is the greatest. God is the absolute greatest. He's greater than disease. He's greater than these wars and factions. He's greater than this dissension. He's greater than this divisiveness. He's greater than the cures. He's greater than the peace. He's the greatest. Our sun is just another star. And the telescopes that we have now are showing us that those stars have their own solar systems. God is the
all I can do is end there, man. There's nothing. I totally agree with you. I'm just following up. But so what are you essentially reading? Because I'm also fascinated in how you think, how you process.
I scour the internet for articles. Science, politics, history, technology.
Okay. Well, as I said, man, you know, a big fan of your work. The voters were a big fan of your work this year.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you did an extraordinary job. I'm hoping that scores or things of that nature are in your future, because it sounds like you're waiting to be inspired by someone to come aboard or inspired by a story to want to be a part of it. Would that be accurate to say?
Sure. We're happy to be. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, I'm good. I mean, I've got enough in order to do what we do. But, you know, as I said, it's a pleasure meeting you, man. And congratulations, as I said, on your two nominations this morning from us.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, and thanks for taking the time.
Absolutely, man. I'm honored.
Brother, thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Love that coat, by
the way. Oh, man, thank you.
Hi, I'm Wendell Pierce, and you're listening to The Big Show, keeping it real with Film Gordon on Film Gordon Radio.
Young is life. Once again, it's life.
Yeah. I don't know why I
intoxicate, man. You don't know why you do what you do.
So
breaking the law, it's always too much for me to ever know. I got a thing for them big body Benzes, it fills my senses. In love with a V-dub engine, man, I'm high off life, fucking I'm wasted. They even ate kicks, all them all with K-Rips. My women bring it, tennis bracelets. Tricks to Venice, get they winners replaced with. The sun, it ain't even fun no more, I'm jaded. Man, it's just a game, I just play it to play it. I put my feet in the footprints left to me. without saying a word. The ghetto's got a mental telepathy. Man, my brother hustles so naturally. Up next is me, and what perplexes me? Should I know how this movie ends? Still I play, starring role in Jovito's way. It's just life, I solemnly swear. Change my approach, stop shaving coat. Stay away from hoes, put down the toes. Cause I be doing the most. Oh no, but every time I felt bad with that, they call me right back. They call me right back. Man, they call me right back. Like a Russian mobster.
All right, and welcome back to the Big Show, Keeping It Real with Film Gordon. And of course, it is now 35 minutes after the hour. And before we move forward, I just want to thank Pharrell Williams for that 15-minute sit down. Really, really nice guy. Very deliberate. I was thinking the whole time as I was sitting there speaking with him, I said, you know, it must drive a woman mad to be in a relationship with a man like that, because he's constantly, it's almost like every word is measured from him. And that's not necessarily a bad thing or anything to make light of. It just is what it is. So really good conversation with him. And I wanted to thank him for sitting down with us for that interview. As I said, now it is 36 minutes after the hour, and we've been telling you all day that we have movie reviews of the latest releases in theaters nationally, not just in New York and L.A., but nationally. So nationally, we're looking at A Monster Calls. And, of course, later on, we're going to also talk about Silence. So we'll do that in the next segment. But right now, I want to welcome in to help me talk about the most anticipated films of 2017, a colleague, a friend of the show. I've also done his show, his television show, as well as his radio program, Picture Lock. It is none other than what I call a rising star on the film critic circuit. It is none other than Samps, Kevin Sampson, Picture Lock. What's going on, Sam?
My man Tim Gordon, well, I felt pumped up on that. You know, like I was kind of rocking back and forth, like I'm about to run, take out on, you know, the court, you know. I appreciate that intro, bro.
I do these intros for my colleague because, you know, secretly, that's what I want y'all to do for me. But it's okay. Well, you know, I will take what you guys did. All right, man. All right, bro. So
you know
here we
I
are.
Got you.
You got me, man. Look, as long as you got my back, I've been gotten. So
there we go.
Here we are, Seth. First weekend or the first week of 2017. We've just finished going through, you know, all of the big guns the last, I don't know, 2.5 months, getting ready for award season, man. But what are, give me a short list of what you're looking forward to this year, and then I'll run down some of the 13 that I'm looking at as well.
Yeah, man, you know, it's one of those things where now you're a little bit more highly invested because you're going to be hitting up Sundance. So you know, like, the good films. So me, I'm just picking those popcorn films that are going to come out that, like, are my guilty pleasures or, like, I'm geeking out about. So a few for me, Wonder Woman, I definitely want to check that out. Justice
right,
League,
right.
John Wick Chapter 2, Alien
on,
Covenant,
man, really?
And Fate of the Furious. Which one?
Wow.
Alien Covenant?
Wait a minute, stop. You put Alien Covenant on your I Got a C list? Are you like a big Alien fan?
I'm not a big Alien fan, but if you saw that trailer, the trailer looks like they're trying to do something different, which is what I really liked. I mean, you know, it's coming right after Prometheus. We're going to see Michael Fassbender again in his role. But, I mean, it just looks like almost like a horror film more than, you know, sci-fi action. So I don't know. I'm intrigued.
All right, man. Well, I mean, I think and I'm not clowning you on your whole Alien thing. You know, I keep every time I hear the word alien, right? I keep thinking back to Alien, the AVP. Remember that Alien versus Predator?
Sanaa Lathan.
You know, you cast Sanaa Lathan, man. I mean, and I met Sanaa Lathan, and I think she's an amazing woman. But in an Alien movie, bro, really?
I hear you.
All right, man. So that's why I was, you know, and you talked about Prometheus, which I still think would be, even as flawed as it was, probably a movie more superior than this one. But all right, so those are your golden five, huh? That's what you're looking forward to, huh?
That's what I'm looking forward to as of now. Yes.
All right. So I'm not gonna lord my whole Sundance thing over you, because nobody knows what any of these Sundance movies are. You know, they all sound good in theory when they read on the website, but we don't know until we sit there what we have. So I'll pick some movies like you that are outside of the calendar, and since you named a couple that were on mine, I'm going to skip over those, man. So let's get started with Get Out from Jordan Peele. You know, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this
one. Oh, yeah. Yeah, my man Lakeith
Stanfield. Yeah, that's dating a white woman, and she takes him home, and it's like the Stepford Wives, and just all sorts of comedy ensues. I really want to not just see this film, but see the reaction from our critic colleagues in the community. What do they think about this movie? And that
right.
also opens on February the 24th. Coming a couple of weeks after that is probably the last film in the series for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine in Logan, which is going to kind of, I guess, put a tear in people's eyes from Marvel, because, this guy, and when I say from Marvel, I know 20th Century Fox has been making these movies, but that's a Marvel character,
mm-hmm.
man, and unless they reboot him, he's the only guy in the last 15 years we've ever seen play this character, man. So Logan,
right.
I'm looking forward to. Guardian of the Galaxy Volume 2, which is dropping on May the 5th, gotta go see that film. I saw the first one in the theater five times. I went back five times to watch this on the big screen.
Wow.
So to say I was a fan would be a vast understatement.
right.
Spider-Man Homecoming on July the 7th, or the 4th of July weekend. I think this is also going to be a big film, as it's the first kind of collaboration between Marvel and Sony working with this
mm-hmm.
character. 2 weeks after that, my favorite film director working today, of course, is none other than Christopher Nolan. And Dunkirk hits theaters on July 21st. The man, to me, has never made a bad movie. I don't expect that this will be the first one. To say I'm hyped again, understatement for Dunkirk. Let me see. I'm going to skip through. Tom Cruise is going to star in American Made, which is scheduled for September the 29th. Based on the true story of a TWA pilot who becomes a drug and weapons smuggler for the Medellin cartel. You got me right there. I don't need to know anything else. The fact that Tom Cruise is in it, I'm good.
really?
Other movies. Oh, yeah, man. Come on, bro. I do my research, man. That's why we're doing this show. last but not least, there are a couple other ones. You named the Justice League. Red Sparrow, which comes out on November the 10th, believe it or not, stars Jennifer Lawrence, man, in a spy thriller, man, which I clearly see that looks like they are positioning this to be an Oscar film for this coming year. And the last mm-hmm. movie I'm going to name, and this is for all the geeks out there, is Episode 8, Star Wars. I had to say nothing else. December the 15th. Episode 8,
yeah.
Star Wars, and it is the final appearance on screen alive for Princess Leia.
Carrie Fisher.
Thank you. So
yeah.
That is going to be epic, and I'm sure, and she was supposed to be in Episode 9, so I got a feeling that there's going to be some hologramming, because, this is your universe more than mine, so that Disney will come up with something to have her be a part of finishing off this third trilogy that they're working on right now. But that is my list of films that are coming out that I'm hyped for. But before I let you go, Sam, where can people check you out on your show? Where can they follow you on social media? Where can people find the man named Kevin Sampson?
Check me out. Everything is Picture Lock Show, picturelockshow.com, Picture Lock Show on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can also hear me on the radio, WRA 96.7 FM, and YouTube as well. So I appreciate you having me on, Tim.
Hey, man, come on, man. This is what we do, man. I mean, you know, you one of the brothers on the come up, man. So it's my responsibility to make sure that, you know, I model some behavior that looks, you look at me and go, yeah, that's possible. We can do this. So we got you, Sam. All right, so, brother, we got snow coming tonight, man. Get inside, hunker down with the family, man. You got plenty of screeners to watch, man. Have fun, man.
Yeah, bro, I'm glad you told me. Let me tell the wife. Thank you, man.
You stupid, man. All right, so, brother.
All right, bro. Yeah, peace.
You take care, Sam. Peace.
You too.
All right. And, of course, that is none other than Kevin Sampson, a wonderful, young, talented brother on the come up, man. I try to support all my people. We're going to take a break right now and come back on the other side, and it's going to be time to review movies. And, of course, you're listening to Keeping It Real with Film Gordon, and we'll be right back.
Cadillac grills, Cadillac mills, check out the oil my Cadillac spills. Matter of fact, candy paint Cadillac kills, so check out the holes my Cadillac fills. 20 inch wide, 20 inch high, hold on to like my 20 inch ride. 20 inch size make 20 inch eyes, hoping for American 20 inch pies. Pretty ass clothes, pretty ass hoes, oh how I love these pretty ass hoes. Pretty ass high class, anything goes. Catch them in the club throwing pretty ass bows. Long John draws, Long John stalls. Any sack puss make my Long John fall. Women on they cell making Long John calls. And if they like to juggle, get Long John ball.
All my players in the house that can buy the bar. And the ballin' ass niggas with the candy car. If you a pimp and you know you don't love them hoes when you get on the floor. All my women in the house if you take the cash. And you got some big titties with a matching ass. With your fly ass boots or your open toes when you get on the floor.
Dirty South mind blown, dirty South bridge. Catfish fried up, dirty South fish. Sleep in a cop picking dirty
yes,
South.
Yes, and of course that is one of Pharrell's biggest breakthrough beats from almost 15 years ago now. That is Ludacris with Southern Hospitality. Huge, huge song that kind of put him and the nerd, his movement on the map back in the day. All right, it is now 47 minutes after the hour, and it is time for us to review movies. So without any further ado, here we go. As we said earlier at the top of the show, there are two movies opening in theaters this weekend nationwide. And first up, we will look at A Monster's Calls, which is a fantasy drama directed by J.A. Bayona. Excuse me, I keep mispronouncing his name. J.A. Bayona, written by Patrick Ness and based on his novel. The film stars Sigourney Weaver, Felicity Jones, Toby Kebbell, Louis McDougal, and Liam Neeson. And it tells the story of a young boy played by McDougal who tries to deal with the terminal illness of his mother, played by Felicity Jones, and the attacks by local school bullies. One night, Connor encounters a monster voiced by Nim in the form of a giant humanoid, U-Tree, who comes to tell him stories and soon begins to help Connor fix his life. And before I talk about the film, here is a clip from A Monster Calls.
It is time for the third tale. There was once an invisible man who had grown tired of being unseen. It was not that he was actually invisible. It was just that people had become used to not seeing him. One day, the invisible man couldn't stand it anymore. He kept wondering, if no one sees you, are you really there at all?
What did the invisible man do?
He called for a monster.
Yes, he did. And, of course, Liam Neeson, ironically, is in both of the films that we're going to talk about. But in this performance, he plays a protector conjured up by the lead character who is going through a very, very difficult point in his life. As I said at the top, his mother's dying of terminal cancer. He is constantly being harassed and bullied at school. And, you know, dealing with the fact of spending time with a grandmother who he really doesn't know, played by Sigourney Weaver, while his father is out of the house as well. And one night, as his imagination conjures up this monster, you think that the monster is there to help him cope and deal with these things. And I will just readily tell you that the first time I watched this movie, I was sitting there kind of, and the movie kind of lulled me to sleep. I was watching it, and I thought the story was going in one direction. And when the story kind of threw a hook or it went for a turn, man, I almost cried. At the very end of this movie, it really snuck up on me and touched me in a major way. And I wish there were more of my colleagues who really kind of had an opportunity to watch this movie or weren't overwhelmed by so many of the other quote-unquote favorites or contenders that are out there. A Monster's Call is really a very, very heartwarming, solid film. I like this movie a whole lot, and without having to belabor the point, because I really want you to watch it without me giving too much away, I would give this movie a solid B, maybe a B+. I think Lewis McDougall is very good, and it's very solid in what Jay Bayona asked him to do. Liam Neeson has the perfect voice for the monster in this film, and I thought Felicity Jones as well as Sigourney Weaver were also solid. So, as I said, a B to maybe a B+ for A Monster Calls. All right, and next that takes us to the film that we were all waiting to see this year, and we didn't get a chance to screen it before the year closed. So it's the rare contender that not a lot of critics got a chance to see in the year that it was released, which is odd if you kind of understand how it all normally occurs. But the film that we're talking about, none other than Silence, which is a passion project from Martin Scorsese. Scorsese literally wanted this to be the follow-up film to The Last Temptation of Christ, and he started working on it in 1990, put it to the side, and actually did Goodfellas and The Departed and Gangs in New York. I mean, he's done a bunch of movies over the last 25 years, but this film is finally hitting theaters. The film, of course, is directed by Martin Scorsese, written by Jay Cox and co-written by Scorsese, based on the 1966 novel of the same name. The film stars Andrew Garfield, Adam Driver, Liam Neeson, and Cillian Hines, and it tells the story in the 17th century of two Portuguese Jesuit priests, Andrew Garfield and Adam Driver, who face violence and persecution when they travel to Japan to locate their mentor, played by Liam Neeson, who had committed apostasy after being tortured. The story takes place in the time of Kokor Christian, hidden Christians that followed the defeat of the Shimabarian Rebellion, which occurred in 1637-1638. And here is a clip from Silence.
Don't speak to me. You have no right to speak to me.
Oh, I do. Because you were just like me. You see Jesus in Gethsemane and believe your trial is the same as his. Those five in the pit are suffering too, just like Jesus. But they don't have your pride. They would never compare themselves to Jesus. Do you have the right to make them suffer? I heard the cries of suffering in this same cell, and I acted.
You excuse yourself! You excuse yourself! That is the spirit of darkness!
And what would you do for them? Pray? And get what in return? Only more suffering. A suffering only you can end. Not God. I pray too, Rodriguez. It doesn't help. Go on. Pray. pray with your eyes open.
Now, this film, to me, really kind of speaks more about Martin Scorsese and kind of his mindset than it's just the film. And we watched Scorsese over the course of, 40 years, making all sorts of films. A lot of them are kind of gang dramas when you look at Mean Streets, or gritty dramas like Taxi Driver. And, of course, when you talk about gang dramas, you're thinking about Casino. You're talking about Goodfellas. So Scorsese, to me, is a master filmmaker. And in this film, what he takes on in a runtime of 161 minutes is really the tale of these two Jesuit priests who, as I said at the top, go to Japan in the mid-17th or early 17th century looking for their mentor who has renounced his faith, or at least the reports have come back that he's renounced his faith. And both of them are in disbelief and pledge that God has sent them there to not just find him, but to continue to spread the word of God, Catholicism, to the people of Japan. And for the most part, the story, which centers on Andrew Garfield's character, sort of shows you the challenges in doing that. There's a great line in the film that the Japanese authorities tell him that Japan is like a swamp, and it's hard for anything to take root there. And that seems to kind of be the overarching theme of the film, that despite the best intentions of the Jesuit priests, the opposition or the oppression that is coming from the Japanese authorities have made it increasingly difficult, as Garfield's character is told to be the last remaining priest in Japan. And after he's captured, all the manipulation and torture begins. I think the story is going to kind of hinge between what I call – it's going to hit people who are believers – in a way that it will hit just regular moviegoers who are not of the faith. People of the faith will watch it, think it's probably overly longish, a little bloated, and wish that Scorsese would get to the point. People who are believers will probably watch it, think the same thing, but also the messages about faith and persecution and standing fast through all sorts of obstacles will probably take hold. I, who fall in the latter category, really thought that the story was solid. I just really wish that there was a way that he could have brought this film in probably about 20 minutes shorter, maybe even 10 minutes shorter. And there are periods in the film in the middle where Scorsese is trying to show you the beauty of the island and trying to show you kind of like the scope of it, that it's a beautiful thing to watch, but it just tacks on additional time that I don't think the film needs. They thought it was a film that would be a contender toward the end of the year. I'm not really getting the sense that is going to occur, but I think Silence is a really, really, really strong film from Scorsese, and it continues to build on the legacy of just who this master filmmaker is. I would give Silence a B-minus and encourage you to know going in about the length of the film, but I think it's a story well told. All right, and that wraps it up for us today here on The Big Show. As I said, next week we'll be back with our Sundance preview. You guys, as I tell you in closing every week, please see something good at the movies. We've given you several options, including the two that we talked about today. And until next time, you guys stay safe, and we look forward to talking to you soon. Bye.